Good evening, everybody. Thanks, Ben and Lana. You were turned around taking your coat off. You don't count. good evening, everybody. Thanks for coming out tonight. I just got a short little, I call it short. We'll see if it's short. Got a quick little word for you guys before we open it up to prayer tonight. And then we'll kick this thing off. I'll let you guys know, again, if you forgot your Christmas child box, today was the last day because we are taking them tomorrow to the drop-off place. So if you have a box, just let us know. We'll get you taken care of and turn it in. Sunday, Pastor Jeff is back in the saddle. Yeah, so get ready. Hold on. He told us he's prepared an hour for every week he was gone. So just be ready. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's ready. And then next deep end is one of my favorite deep ends that we do every year. And it's the, if I could have one prayer answered in 2018, what would it be? And we look over what people asked for last year and prayed over and talk about the miracles that God has done. And then we put in our request for the upcoming year. So that's always one of my favorite deep ends. If you can, please be here and be a part of it because it's awesome. We're going to go ahead and dive right in, though. So I've got a verse for us. It's going to be on the screen behind me. It is Romans 8, 14 through 17. And I don't know if I've got the same version on my phone here as what you guys have, so I'm just going to read on the screen. So, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. It's Romans 8, 14 through 17. So, I got this idea. Here's where my deep ends come from. Quick confession here. Unless I know, like, way in advance, which is not always the case, Ryan, we want you to take this service, and you're going to speak or say something. I'm like, yeah, sure, got it. And then there are some times where it's like, hey, Ryan, can you do tomorrow? Yeah, of course. And then I'm trying to figure out what to do. And then God always comes through, and he says, Ryan, do this. So where this came from was a fun night with my kids. When I say fun night, it was a little stressful in the beginning. It ended fun, though. And in that, I was taking a picture of us being children of God, and I was equating how I felt as a father during this time with my kids to how he could feel about us as his children. So that verse is like, that's the like children of God verse. Trust me, if you Google children of God verse, that's like the top result. There's plenty of others, but that's the top one. I'm going to give some kudos to a gentleman named Tim Keller because as I was looking over this and trying to find some info that I wanted to add to this thought that God gave me, I found a couple of his ideas as well. And so if you look at that verse, Romans 8, 14 through 17, it starts, and for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Again. It actually says fear again, but I just cut it off at fear. So here's a benefit that we have as being a child of God is security. So, like, if you look at an employee-employer relationship, and you may say, oh, I've got job security, I'm taken care of, but it's not the same because a large majority of us, unless you are a contract employee or, you know, you set up a different way, you could be an at-will employee, meaning your boss could come to you at any moment, even if you are a top performer, and say, hey, you're out of here. And they do not have to tell you why if you are an at-will employee. And you can at any time say, hey, I'm out of here. But if you go to this side, those who are on the recording, you have no idea what I'm doing right now, but I walk from one side of the stage to the other because I can't stand or sit still. If you're over on this side, you've got a parent-child relationship. Now, unfortunately, in our day and age, in our world that we live in, there are children who fear their parents and are afraid that they will not be loved. But in a true loving relationship and in a true parent-child relationship, that kid does not and should not have to be afraid of, well, you know, mom and dad gonna like just say, hey, I'm done with you, you know, I'm gonna send you back to Kid Smart, and you know, you can just hang out there, and we're gonna pick up little Timmy over here. I just went to PetSmart on the way here, so no, that doesn't happen. Kids have a security. And to a true security, if any of you know and have kids, which looking in this room, everybody in here is a parent, you know that moment when there's a noise or they hear something, and what's the first thing they do is they either come run and get in bed with you, or they want you to come and run and get in bed with them, and because they're scared and they want mommy or daddy to be there to keep them safe. Because that's their shelter. That's their security. So, in Romans 8, it says, the spirit you received did not make you slaves again so that you live in fear. Again, rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And that's S-O-N, sonship. So there's a sense of security when you're somebody's child. Another thing that we get as a child of God is authority. As that same verse that I just read, it said, it does not make you slaves, skip forward, rather you're adopted into sonship. So, and we know the verses, you become a joint heir with Christ, or look at the picture of the prodigal son. And the son came and was immediately restored to authority. Authority is something different. And here's something. So as an employee, I'll just use that example again. It just hit me. But as an employee, I've got some authority in my company. I create invoices a lot. So I have the authority to create an invoice and send it to a customer and say, hey, you owe us money. However, I do not necessarily have the authority to go to my boss and say, hey, you owe us money. Or to order whatever I feel like ordering. No, I order what they tell me to order, and that's what I order. I have the ability and the authority to create orders, but I order what they say to order. I can't just go and order 4 forklifts because I want to have a cool forklift basketball game. No, it's not allowed, apparently. But as a child of God, and think of it this way, because you're probably like, well, you know, kids ain't got no authority in my house. Like, I'm the authority, which may be true. However, everybody in this room is a grown child. You're still somebody's child. As Lana looks to Katie and says, that's right. I have authority in my daddy's house. You know, if I don't live there anymore, per se, but if the cable guy calls and he needs something, I can take care of my daddy's house. I can let somebody in to daddy's house. I've got a key. I've got the ability to take care of the things in his house. I don't want to pay his bills because he's got a bigger house than me, but I could pay his bills. I could take care of his stuff. I've got the authority. I've got the passwords and everything. I have that ability as his child. And so, whereas he still has authority over me, even if I'm grown, I have authority in his household. And so, we are given authority by God as we are joint heirs in Christ. Because we are not merely servants. That's the difference. As it says, you are not slaves, you are sons, you are heirs. And so there's a difference. As a servant, you're told what to do, and you have to do it, and there's no choice. You're just a servant, and that's that. As a son, you still have a choice. Now, granted, hopefully you make the right choice, but you have the choice, and you have the authority in that. The next point in here, this is a fun verse, all right? So, let me skip to where I'm at. So the very end of this is, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So that little tidbit right there, that we share in his sufferings, we've heard, take up your cross and follow me. You know what I'm talking about, and I'm not going to spend 20 minutes going over that. So hopefully you get what I'm saying here. But if we share in his sufferings, that we may also share in his glory. This one's my favorite. Family likeness. How many of y'all have seen a family before? Like, as soon as you see them, you're like, they are related. Like, I know every single person in that family is related. And at some point, you know, when you see like a little old couple that's been married for like 75 years, they almost look like brother and sister because they look so much alike now. And that's the thing. There's science and stuff behind that too. Is the more time people spend together, the more they physically adapt and change into similar appearances. Whether it's not like full on, like somebody's nose is going to grow 10 times the size, but it's pretty cool. So family likeness. So Christians will suffer not simply in the pains of this world that all people face, but specifically because they are brothers and sisters of Christ. So Christ faced rejection of who he was, and because he had come to expose sinfulness, warn of judgment, and offer salvation through himself. So that one I just thought was cool. Like, think of that. Is, if you think of, and I know I've got three brothers and a sister, so there's five of us, and I have been told by my sister's husband, so my brother-in-law, that when we are all in a room together, he literally cannot pick apart my brothers and my voice. Like, he can't tell which one of us is talking at any given time. Now, I can, as I'm talking, but I can tell, and, like, my mom can, my dad can, my sister can. Like, we know whose voice is who because we spent so much time together. But AJ, it's my brother-in-law, you know, he's newer into the family. I mean, they've been married a couple years, but he's newer into the family, and he said, like, literally, we sit the same way, we act the same way, like, and if you're all thinking like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe there's that many of you, Ryan. Like, we're a little different, but you think about that. So this family likeness, our voices sound the same. We act the same. We do the same thing. Well, if we're co-heirs with Christ, we should be looking the same way, acting the same way, doing the same things. That to me was like, this is awesome. And then we've talked about, and I mentioned a little bit, like being co-heirs, there's the inheritance and the reward. And in that, I'm going to throw in, I mean, you get an inheritance or reward in those no matter what, but I'm going to throw out pleasing God. So I mentioned before a couple weeks ago, and I think literally every time I speak, I probably use this verse, about without faith, it is impossible to please God. So here's where this message was birthed out of. So I'm hanging out with the kids last night. I had to go work at a house. And the kids, I separated their car seats. By say I mean Candace did. But separated their car seats in the car. Why, might you ask? Because if they're next to each other, I tend to do a lot of yelling in the car. So they are separated in the car because I don't want them to fight with each other and bicker with each other. And not that it's like a full like WWE match in the backseat of our car, but it happens. Kids fight. And they weren't getting along, and it was driving me crazy. And it makes me frustrated, but hurt. Like, I'm hurt because I'm like, why don't you guys get along? Like, I know you love each other. I see you guys have fun together. Like, you doing this stuff, like, I'm hurting because you're doing this. And that's why I'm mad. And I realized, as I was thinking about that, I was like, okay, I got it, God. I hear what you're saying. Okay. But then later in the night, then they turned around. They turned a corner, and it was awesome. And we had so much fun together. I know it's not even Thanksgiving yet, but we were singing Christmas songs in the car and having a blast, and it was so much fun. So then we're driving home from working at the house, and literally both the kids had just gotten reprimanded for something, and so they were real quiet. And I'm like, this is how driving should be. This is nice. This is quiet. I love this. And then Jeremiah pipes up and says something really cute. And then they start asking questions about a song, and they're singing a song. And they have this thing that they do where they sing songs that they just made up on the spot. And they ask me, Daddy, is that a real song? I'm like, well, if you wrote it, it's a real song. Like, yeah, sure, that's a real song. Like, I'm going to tell you it's a fake song. You wrote it. You just wrote a song. There you go. So that's what we do a lot. We get some interesting songs in our car. But that kind of evolved somewhere or another into singing Christmas songs in the car together and having fun. And it was in that moment, as we're goofing off and we're laughing and the kids are getting along and they're playing, that God pointed out to me, because there are times where, like, I'll come downstairs and watch them, and I'll just sit and watch them. And they're playing, and they're like literally the best of friends and helping each other and like thinking, like whatever game they're playing or whatever they're doing, they're thinking, oh, Bubby, I bet you would like this. I'm going to do this for you. Oh, thanks, Sissy. I bet you would like this. I'll do this for you. And so like they're like helping each other and thinking of each other. And I'm like, that's awesome. And that to me, like, I'm over the moon. I'm thrilled. I'm soared. It's awesome. And that's when God pointed out to me last night in those moments where he was like, I feel the same way. Like, that's really cool. So I wrote down that when children are fighting, it hurts the heart of the father or parent. But I'm applying this biblically. So when children are fighting, it hurts the heart of the father. But when children are helping each other, it pleases the heart of the father. And that's, like I just told you, from personal experience. So I got one more verse we're going to read real quick. I know I have the same version on my phone this time. So this is Matthew 25, 31 through 40. And this one will be up on the screen too if you want to follow along. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence. And he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. So after that little revelation, that I had. This verse brought a whole new light to me. This is one God said, no, this verse right here, this is the one I'm talking about. And I realized, you know, I was talking about my kids, and when they are playing nice and getting along and helping each other, man, just, I can't explain to you the joy, pure joy that I have and I experience in seeing that. But then I started going the next step further. When I pick my kids up from downstairs and I see like the teachers are like so excited, not just because I'm picking them up, but they are excited to share with me like what happened that day, and the kids are thrilled and the teachers are like, yeah, they were so good today. It was awesome. Check out what they made. They really wanted you to see this. And I see, you know, somebody's loving on my kids right now. And then like, because this will happen sometimes when somebody just randomly thought of my kids and they're like, hey, you know, I thought of Jeremiah the other day, so I picked up this action figure. I'm so touched. I'm like, that's so awesome. Thank you for giving him that. And I also love it because I love the action figures too. So I live through him in that. But it's one of those, like, even at birthday parties, when my kids get gifts from people, I'm not that parent that looks at like the drum set and goes, all right, this is going to be fun. No, I'm the kid that like, oh, I'm the kid, see? Because I am still a kid. Now, I'm that parent who's like, you know what? My kid is going to love these drums. Don't buy my kids drums. But I'm that parent who, like, whatever it is, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, did you see that? They are going to love this. Like, I'm half the time, when it's before Christmas or a birthday, I'm texting the people who buy them gifts just to find out what they're going to get beforehand. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's going to be so cool. They're going to love that. And I get to play with it too. And so I thought about that. And that verse, I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. And then they asked him, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty and give you something to drink? And skip forward, he says, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. So when somebody's loving on my kids, helping my kids, giving my kids gifts, it's like they're doing it for me. It touches my heart just the same as it touches theirs. And so I thought about that as we are heirs with Jesus. And in this verse, he even calls us brothers and sisters at the end. But I think about that, and especially just, I guess, kind of heading into the holiday season and watching Candace was taking care of the Operation Christmas Child stuff and the ministries that we are a part of. It was one of those where it's like, yes, there's that point in all of the movies where they talk about, oh, this will make you feel so good if you help somebody else out. And that's 100% true. I've never helped somebody. I may have been exhausted after helping them, but I've never left afterward and said, really wish I never did that. Like, I finished it and thought, man, I'm glad I could help them. And the same way, think in terms now as a parent. Whoever that was, if you were helping out their kid, think of it that way. And that's what the cool part is. Then translated across, we're all God's children. So no matter what it is or who it is, think of it in that way. And I guarantee you, if you filter it through that, that's a hard thing to get past. When you are frustrated and angry, or you want to avoid somebody, or you are like, I'm about to berate this person beyond any possible hint that they will ever, ever have self-confidence again because of the way they messed up. Think first that they are also a child of God. So that's what I had today. It's a cool part. We're all brothers and sisters. But I guess it really was hitting me too. Coming up into the holiday season is always the time when people help out. And I will encourage you, if you think of any way to help or do something for somebody, go for it. Do it. But not for yourself. Do it for their daddy. And I've heard before, I'm going to echo a sentiment that Jeff has said before from the pulpit is, you know, people will say, oh, all I can do is pray for somebody. Sometimes that's the best thing you can do, is pray for somebody. And I have literally wept when I knew people were praying for my kids. It touches the heart of God. And so I encourage you to just not forget that and think about that. I'm going to close this out, and then you guys are free to join your Father in prayer. Dear God, I thank you so much for just the opportunity to share your words. God, for whether that was just for me, and I just got a chance to tell others about it, to remember that we are your children. And with that, not only does it affect the way we treat other people, but it 100% affects the way we carry ourselves. To not walk in fear, to have authority, to be in that family likeness where we are supposed to be an image of Christ. And if there's a family resemblance in that, that's what we'll look like. And that we just remember that the others are also children of God. I thank you, God, and I praise you. You are just so incredible. You have done so many amazing things through this body and this church. And I just give you all praise for that. And pray, God, that you continue to use living water. Continue to bless us and use us to change the world. Thank you, God, and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.